gospel reading today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived there ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesareth and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized Jesus and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the word of God. The beginning of today's gospel from Mark raises a lot of questions. Who were these disciples that were going out and doing things in Jesus' name and teaching? Why were the disciples following Jesus? And why did people follow then the disciples and listen to them when they were talking about what Jesus said? What did the people think about those disciples? When Jesus invited his disciples to go with him to a deserted place, what did he say to them there? Does any of this apply to us today? There are three series of questions that I find challenging. The first is this: when the disciples went out to teach in the villages without Jesus, what did they teach? The second series of questions is, what fired up those disciples? What prompted them to go out? Why did they follow Jesus? And what made them want to go out and teach what Jesus taught to them? And then the third series of questions that I want to tackle is, when Jesus told his disciples to go away to a deserted place, what did he tell them there? What did they do for rest? So, the first question: what did the disciples teach in the villages when they went out? I want to take this question initially because when we talk about Jesus now in 2009, whether we say it or not, and whether we believe it or not, we have the resurrection in mind. In other words, when we, or all people, think of Jesus, we have the fact that he lived and the fact that he was crucified. And whether we believe it or not, many people do, we do, we believe he was resurrected and remains with us. But even those who do not believe it have that in awareness, because that's part of who Jesus is now in our mind and heart in this world. But at that time, the disciples that Mark is talking about knew nothing about the crucifixion and knew nothing about the resurrection. For they only knew at that time that Jesus was there with them because they ate with him, they listened to him, they experienced his miracles, and they were in wonder and awe about the number of people that were following him. So perhaps before we look at the disciples, we have to look at the audience that they went into when they met with people in the villages. They came from the villages and farms to them. Now, the ordinary people of Israel were not that much different from us. They married. They had children. They worked either in villages or in the fields. They worked hard. When they got up in the morning and when they got home at night, they worried about what they would, whether or not they would have bread for the next week. They wondered about the market, whether the market would bring them enough money. They wondered if their spouses still cared for them, and they wondered if they were raising their children the right way. They were concerned about their friends, and they were concerned about their status in the community. Culturally, however, they were different from us because religious laws played a significant part in their life, at least for many of them. So a lot of our differences have to do with religious laws and also the views that they had at that time, which we do not have now in post-Jesus time. For example, the legal system they had was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Also, many people had a life view that they were the chosen ones. And this assumption led to even them disliking and shunning other people from Israel, such as the Samaritans. And all of them recoiled at Roman rule and Roman taxation, and the fact that a Roman soldier could command and demand that they carry the Roman soldier's pack for up to 1 mile. Now, they also knew from religious law that they could not truly satisfy God because it was almost impossible for them to strictly observe every single law that needed to be observed. They also knew that they had a great body of scripture that promised them that one day a Messiah would come, the Anointed One, who was going to save them. The Anointed One would come, as Scripture says, as a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. So, the audience were ordinary people, people of that culture that Jesus' disciples went forth to teach what Rabbi Jesus had taught them. So, what was the scope of what they taught? Well, I think the first answer comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 17, when Jesus said, "From that point on, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" I think these, the earliest of the disciples, had been taught by Jesus that we are brought closer to God by faith. God's kingdom is not only somewhere in the heavens or out there in the desert, but was near to them. And this meant that the demands of the books of the law, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, could not by themselves bring a person closer to God's kingdom. For Jesus taught that repentance, that is conversion within one heart, was the way to have God come into one's heart, for God was always there anyway. The kingdom of God was truly near, and repentance, conversion, was the message. A person who fully loves God in one's heart and mind invites God's kingdom into one's soul. Now, under the old law, the people responded to God's covenant, the covenant of Abraham, the covenant of Noah, the covenant of Moses. And according to the books of the old law, a person broke the law, they've sinned, for sin was a breach of the covenant. Therefore, to re-enter the covenant, meaning that the person had to go back into the law, back into reobservance, and then re-enter the covenant. What an Old Testament sinner did then was to look to the past, look to the deed in the past, look to the covenant of the past, reconnect with God, and then bring them into the present. What Jesus was teaching was that repentance had a new meaning. Repentance meant looking to the future, looking to a union with God. What Jesus was teaching is that we look forward with God to the future. A person under Jesus' teaching meant that repentance brought a person closer to God and that God was near to us. For when Jesus taught, the kingdom of God was definitely nearer. Jesus was bringing about the new covenant, the new and eternal covenant, and his kingdom was as close as a touch, the closest touching the fringe of his garment. And many people did not realize it at that time, but the kingdom was very close because it was Jesus himself. So what else could these disciples have taught? And I think the answer, again, is contained in the Gospels because it was the essentials of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount and repentance brought the people to realize that faith was the important thing for them. Faith in Jesus and faith in his Father. Because faith then was not belief in something, as in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, but someone who is Jesus. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught his disciples, and these are what I think the disciples taught the other people. They spoke of salt, they spoke of light. The Sermon on the Mount was at that time and continues to be a revolution of the law and a revolution of our human spirit. Because the disciples taught that Jesus said that even if we only insult our brothers and sisters, that we are liable. The disciples taught that Jesus said that we who desire to offer ourselves or our gifts or our time in worship must first be reconciled to our brothers and sisters. The disciples taught that Jesus said that when we are insulted and assaulted, we must turn the other cheek. and that we are forced to do something we don't want to do, we are not to complain, but to walk the extra mile. The disciples taught that Jesus said that when we are persecuted or injured, we are not to take revenge, but instead are to love our enemies, and not only that, to pray for those who persecute us. The disciples taught that Jesus said that when we give to the needy and poor, we're not to sound a trumpet. The disciples taught that Jesus said that we are not to be anxious about our lives, but as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And they also told them that Jesus said, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. The disciples also told them a story that Jesus told to them about a man who was traveling and was robbed of everything he had, even including his clothes. And then the robbers beat up the traveler so badly he could not even walk. And then observers of the strict law, two of them, passed him by. But guess what? A Samaritan helped him. A Samaritan. The disciples taught that Jesus said, and I think they really emphasized this, whatever you wish that others do to you, you do to them. So with that and a lot more, the disciples went forth and taught. Which takes me to the next question then. What fired these disciples up? What made them want to go out in Jesus' name and teach and meet with people they had not known? More importantly, what gave them the power, as Mark talks about, to do? And the answer is, I don't think it was what Jesus told them as much as it was what Jesus showed them, was God's love for them. Because Jesus took the old law of God, which was a book of rules, and brought them into God's love. Jesus took them from often empty words and brought them into the living word. He took them from perhaps easily misunderstood precepts and brought them to the Word made flesh, who was dwelling with them. So what became apparent to those disciples was that they followed their teacher, and they were convinced that Jesus was compassionate about them, concerned about them, desired to heal them, and most importantly, shared their pains, and that showed them Jesus' love for them. So I believe that when these disciples went forth, they went out because they were concerned about the people, they were compassionate about the people, they yearned to heal the people, they shared the people's pain, and therefore the people realized that they also loved them. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, tells us the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they did go away in a boat by themselves to a deserted place. But this Gospel said that on that singular day, they didn't have a chance to be alone, because people went with them and followed them. But they must have had other times to be alone with Jesus and listen to him, for otherwise they would not have had a chance to enter into a relationship with him. So I then wondered, what could Jesus have said to them to renew them, to give them the rest in their soul and body, and give them that urge to want to go out in his mind? What gave them the right to be with Jesus and rest in body, soul, and spirit? What words would Jesus have had enough power to energize them, because they had no leisure even to eat? And in the future, they would be depressed, as we all are, or feel rejected, or put aside by gossip, or hurt by jealousy, or simply would become exhausted. I think the answer to that question is partially contained in John's Gospel, where we have one of the most beautiful and life-giving and vibrant statements of Jesus. And this is part of the passage. Jesus spoke to them, and I think Jesus speaks to us today. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. So what Jesus teaches us, as he taught his disciples who walked with him and labored with him, was that even though our powers and our love fall far short, we are part of the vine. That Jesus is connected to us as we are connected to him. The earliest of the disciples realized that divine love healed, not their hands. That divine grace healed, not their benevolent hearts. That divine mercy forgave, not what they could think. What they learned from Jesus was that his power and his love and his mercy flowed from him and from his Father, from his love of his Father. The disciples shared in that love and shared in that mercy. They were, like we are, aware of our human weaknesses, but their faith in Jesus gave them strength and power and healing love beyond what they could have imagined. And I think that today we are privileged to share in that same faith, that same strength, that same healing love, that same power, which is beyond what we can imagine. What those disciples learned when Jesus said to them is, come to a deserted place and rest, was that the power of prayer and rest is very important. Because remember what the disciples had said earlier in Mark's gospel. They came back to Jesus and told them what they had done. The power of prayer. And what Jesus said to them in return is, come and rest a while. Now, the concept of rest is that concept of Genesis, the concept of Sabbath. In Genesis is recorded, on the seventh day, God finished the work he had done and rested from all the work. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. God blessed it and hallowed it. So rest is not a vacation, as in vacate, but rest is a hallowed time, a holy time. This is more in line with what the British and Europeans say when they're going on holiday, as opposed to us in the United States when we say we're going on vacation. Therefore, when Jesus invited his apostles to come, his apostles and disciples to come away to a deserted place and rest, he was blessing that time of rest, and he was asking them to bless that time of rest. He was making it a hallowed, a holy day, and asking them to make it a hallowed day, a holy day, a time of Sabbath. Jesus had a holy life, a life of prayerful union with his Father. Jesus shared in that life-giving vine with his Father. And when he told his disciples about the vine and the branches, he was telling them where the healing power of their life was coming from and where their vibrant life could always come from. We know that people of God, that we are called to do. But sometimes we also have to realize that we are also called, after we do, to rest with Jesus. Jesus calls us to Sabbath just as he called his apostles and disciples 2,000 years ago to rest with him. Because Jesus is telling us that as long as we are united to him, as the vine and the branches are united, that we will be full of life. Then when we take our time to rest with Jesus, we take the time to bless and to be blessed. We take the time to realize that all is holy and to make all holy. We take the time to pray, but also the time to be prayed for. To take the time to just be, where sometimes just being gives us the time to be graced, the time to be enlightened, and the time to be showered with those divine graces which give us the power to do supernatural things because Jesus is doing them with us. Those early disciples learned directly from Jesus. Today we learn from Scripture and holy books and the holy around us. And their lesson and our continuing lesson is that God's grace is the loving power to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This world, as we know it, will always have need for repentance and redemption. Scripture and ancient and modern history tell us that, clearly tell us that. And this world, with God's grace, will always have people who rest with Jesus and then are ready to go out and heal and teach in His name. Again, Scripture and old and modern history clearly tell us that. Our prayer is that we strive to be that people. Rob's sermon today was eloquent. We are the house of God. We are the dwelling place, every single one of us. So let's continue to be open to God's Holy Spirit. Let's continue to make the choice to allow the life flow of the vine be in us and flow through us. Then we will be identical to those disciples that Mark talked about in the gospel. What made those disciples be on fire was Jesus' love. And in 2009, we can be on fire with the love of Jesus and leave here to do and teach all in His name. And most importantly, heal ourselves and others. We will be invited then to rest with Jesus now and in eternity. And from Mark's gospel flows a very simple prayer that we be the disciples of Jesus and go out in His name.